Hi, I'm Samantha, a past guest on CJAM's Handy Link. You're listening to Handy Link on CJAM 99.1 FM, reaching high ground in Windsor, Detroit.
Hello and welcome to Handy Link, sponsored by the Italian Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. In this segment of our show, I'll be chatting with Vicky Mayer from ATN Access. So, what can you tell me about ATN?
Okay. We have been around since 1987. We are a nonprofit charity. Community-based training agency, mainly operating out of London, although we do serve the Tri-County area, and our focus is to help enable individuals with disabilities or significant employment or learning barriers to reach their learning or employment goals.
So, how has the work progressed over time? You said you've been around for 30 years now.
Yeah. We actually began as an outreach of a program that started at Western University. It was Dr. John Hart who helped build the first Braille computer lab at Western, and then individuals who were blind were graduating from college and universities and still not getting jobs. So in the summer of 1990, I was hired to do a feasibility study and to help figure out why, although we thought we knew the answer. And the answer seemed to be that it was technology that they were using in school was not being transferred into the workplace. So in March of 1991, we began our first long-term training program just focused on working with individuals who were blind and low vision, helping them to conquer technology and then move that technology into a workplace. And then we expanded to serve individuals with learning disabilities, and now we serve all disabilities, and a great deal of our premise is still that technology is key in the process. We are assistive technology experts, and we also are learning disability specialists and have some specific remarkable things that we can do there, and we work to fill gaps, and if we see gaps, we set up new programs.
So, when you mention gaps, what would you say are some of the biggest ones facing individuals with disabilities? Terms of the workplace and assistive technologies?
Well, I think that, first of all, the main thing is that programs are not being built around individuals. Programs are being built and then people are being piloted in to those programs. And if they succeed, if they don't succeed in that process, then they're designated as being failures or unemployable or whatever. And, or they're sent to another agency and told to try that. So certainly building programs, building learning paths around individual is a key philosophy of ATN. And so some of our clients are with us for years. Some of them are only here a month or two, and then we connect them to their employment or their education, or college or university or other training. So that's one of the biggest gaps. Now, assistive technology is expensive and not always compatible with employment sites. So having experts in that area is another gap that exists. ADP provides individuals with technology sometimes, but not enough support to really learn how to use it.
So to look at the converse side of things, in your time with ATN, in terms of filling these gaps, is there any success moment that stands out for you?
Fortunately, there is a lot of success moments that stand out in terms of process. We do assist assist people in finding and keeping jobs. I'm most excited with our young people when we are able to facilitate movement onto post-secondary and other further education in that process. We have just recently opened a grocery store that right now is, for me, an incredibly exciting new adventure and a lot of work, but I love it. And it's our social enterprise, meeting the needs of the community there in a place that has been designated a food desert and providing us an opportunity to provide training for our clients who are focused on retail or food services. There's a lot of thank yous that come with my job. There's a lot of happy moments and happy dances when jobs and entrance into educational facilities happen.
So, in terms of this grocery store, for a person with a disability who does their training there and would excel at it, is there any possibility that could become a permanent fixture, a meaningful employment position, if you will?
Oh, absolutely. Our permanent part-time and our full-time staff at the grocery store, many of them are previous clients of ATN or other service providers. But it's meant to be transitional training. Although some enter in just an internship kind of position where they're working there a couple of weeks unpaid, they soon move to being paid within their position. And when they're designated as having most and all of the skills and competence they need to move on, we find them positions with other retail or service outlets.
So, the grocery store facility itself, are there any particular accessibility features to make it inviting to anyone who would make use of it?
We were first certainly conscious when we agreed and signed the lease for this facility, and basically it was just a wide open space that we were changing, to make sure that the aisles were accessible. We did move into a heritage building that had steps going up to it. So one of our conditions was that we were allowed to create a lift at the front and ramp the front of the building so that individuals who use wheelchairs or scooters could access the building. We do have one of our tills built lower if needed for in case we do hire somebody who does have a mobility issue and uses a chair in the process. So we were very conscious of making it as accessible as possible. Certainly our washrooms are accessible. We are partnered with other businesses within the food incubator where the grocery store lives. But we certainly have made every effort to encourage them to continue the process of creating accessible spaces.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Okay, no problem, Ken.
And now, folks, a story Vicki actually suggested from a past client of ATN. So, could you introduce yourself to my audience and tell me a little of your story?
My name's Rosaline Chews. I'm an artist with communication disabilities, like dyslexia, autism, cluttered speech disorder, PTSD.
So what inspired you to get involved in the world of art?
It was a gift, and it was the way I could communicate, because words weren't my, I couldn't see words, but I could see three-dimensional objects, and I could reproduce them quite early, and they became my voice.
And how has your art impacted the community?
Um, almost every exhibition I've had was about communication disabilities, dyslexia, and it was able to be read by the people that had dyslexia just like me, so they related to the story. And normal people felt disoriented, didn't understand. The few that tried were feeling, they said, like I created a dyslexic translation, so that they were trying to, or feeling like they were dyslexic.
So, as an artist, what's been the biggest challenge that you've experienced in terms of finding that common ground so your work can be appreciated?
The common ground?
Yes.
I think the common ground is that it's a relatable story that's created in a beautiful way. My goal was always to present disabilities as an ability, and with with dignity of the disabled person, relating in an equitable way to their environment. I was trying to create a really a positive place in my world because I felt like an outsider in the real world.
So, to look at the converse side of things, as an artist with a disability, what's been the greatest success that you've experienced?
What's the greatest success?
Yes.
Greatest success. I believe that, my art is the link between the communication disabled and normal people. So that's been successful for me. That's why I had the courage to say what I could, and I needed to use the gift of art to tell this story, given that it was a talent and a gift early, and I knew I had to work on this to connect to normal people, to show that people with disabilities really want to thrive and have dignity beside normal people. And we were able to do that because my art is, my paintings and sculptures are beautiful, technically worked at, and all I wanted was the ability to thrive in our society. I just didn't believe that the laws as is now are correct with the systemic discrimination. So I just did not want the success of my art just to fall inside with poverty or suicide. It just wasn't an option. So I'm continuing to try to use it and help many other people. It's always been my goal.
Like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Okay, thank you.
Some of the terminology used by the preceding guest is solely that of the individual and doesn't necessarily reflect the opinions of this show or anyone at CJM 99.1. HandyLink will be right back after these commercial messages, so stay tuned.
Have you ever thought about volunteering with CJAM FM? Why haven't you? Volunteering isn't limited to students. Anyone from the community can come into the station and start their very own program. All you need are a pair of headphones and the enthusiasm to learn. So get involved right here in your community with a topical spoken word show or music program where you choose the content. Email programcjam@gmail.com or come on down to the station. We're located on the University of Windsor campus in the basement of the CAW Student Center. Find out more information about how you can volunteer at cjam.ca.
Welcome back to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Earlier in our show, we heard about disabilities art and about ATN. In this segment of our show, we're going to hear from a panel from Disability Rights Promotion International. So tell me a little bit about your experiences with DRPI.
DRPI is a broader initiative that is run out of York University in conjunction with CEDA. And one of the projects that has come out of DRPI is the AWARE project. It's the Asian Workplace Approach that respects equality. And in that project, we're working in three countries, in Kathmandu, Nepal, actually three cities, Kathmandu, Nepal, Dhaka, Bangladesh, and Hyderabad, India. And the goal of the project is to, pretty simple, is to get employment for persons with disabilities.
So, Sridhar, can you tell me a little bit about your experiences?
Yeah, I'm still in Hyderabad.
Yes.
Yeah, so I joined this project just 1.5 years back. My job role is here. I need to take the requirements from the employers from, across the Hyderabad, from all the sectors, IT, manufacturing, retail, so all the sectors. Then, according to the requirements, I have to place the people with disabilities. So that's, I need to match the both data. Like I'll act like a bridge between the employer and the job seeker. So this is the job right now I'm doing in Hyderabad, in India.
So, what sorts of challenges present themselves in terms of getting meaningful employment and progress for people with disabilities?
Challenges here, so it depends on the company's profile. Suppose it's an accounting position, so they required only the skills of what candidates can do on the in a software like accounts, like there is a tally, some kind of accounts skills are there. So they are looking only those kind of skill sets persons. But when coming to orthopedically, persons with physically disability, so there the challenge is like they need to travel to the company. In Hyderabad, it's a metro, it's a big city. So where the challenge is like, he has to travel to that company from home to the company. So the challenge is here, these softwares and these accounts things, they are not allowed to work from home. So some big companies. Some companies, they're providing some work from home. So they are doing from work from home. So, but The main challenge is here in the transport.
So,
and the other is changing the perceptions of employers with this, regarding employees with disabilities. And that's an activity that we're making progress on. There's a perception that a person with a disability may not be able to do the job physically, or that they don't have the skills to do the job, or that accommodations will be expensive. And what we're demonstrating with great success in each of the countries is that when you work with employers, talk to them about the business benefits and the business case for employing persons with disabilities, and speak about skills and not about barriers, then employers are first off willing to give it a chance. And then once they have employees that come into their workplace, they're just discovering that they are getting great returns by having a person with a disability on the job, that the people stay in the job and are very productive in the work that they're doing. And what that does is it leads to success and changing of perceptions and willingness to hire other people with disabilities.
So how do you go about tearing down the myths and stereotypes that sometimes accompany the idea of accommodations?
Shreya, would you like to start?
I didn't get that question answered.
So, tearing down some of the myths around accommodations is basically starting with the job task. So instead of starting, the starting point for some people and employers is a person with a disability is perceived as someone who is unable to do something as a result of their disability. And what we do is we flip that around. We change it in looking at the skills and the capacity and abilities of the employee. So when we talk about the job, we say, okay, what needs to be done in this job? And then break that down and saying, okay, so the skill set that you are requiring and the capabilities that you are requiring, this particular candidate that we are bringing forward to you has those skills and has those capabilities. And if there is a need for an accommodation, we take a look at where that the gap is, and we come up with the appropriate accommodation. So, for example, in the scenario that Sridhar described, that transportation is a very big problem in many of these of the countries that we're working in, with a lack of accessible transportation, and even a lack of public transportation. And so one of the accommodations would be, can this person who has that skills match work from home?
So in terms of successes, in terms of disability employment, can you tell me, is there any story?
Sridhar has a few examples of employees that he has successfully placed. And perhaps one of the scenarios is that you can share, Sridhar, is in employing people who are deaf, deaf, and hard of hearing, and some of the accommodations that you have put into place and that the employers have willingly embraced.
Accommodation into placement?
Yes.
I didn't get you, sir, Jesse. Placing of hearing impaired persons you're talking about?
Yes.
So, a success story, like, here we have placed many persons with hearing impaired. So, in terms of these accommodations, what we are looking is we match the job seekers nearby the location of where the workplace. Then, for example, we have placed few of the candidates in Hotel Marriott, in the Lemon Tree, in the custom Rockwell Industries, it's a manufacturing company. So they are doing the good work there. So in terms of providing, changing the employee perception, I think. So they are learning some sign language. So in their free time, they are learning some sign language from others. And even I have undergone the A level of sign language. So I'm doing there for first 2 months, depends on the profile. Then I used to teach them sign language, basic language. So in that way, like, they're doing good. And the three companies, they got the best employee award for this person with hearing impairment.
Yeah, so that's the kind of success that we're seeing.
So, there were recently awards announced for... Tell me a little about that.
Sure. Last week, I believe, we had... time is going by, but last week we had an Employers Award evening. And it was the Bengt Lindqvist Inclusive Employer Award. It was the second annual awards evening. We had approximately 120 people in attendance, and it included employers and employees with disabilities and interested parties that are looking at employment for persons with disabilities in Hyderabad. The evening included presentation of awards to four inclusive employers who had been nominated, and that included Lemon Tree Hotels, Marriott Hotels, Dr. Reddy's Laboratory, and DQ Systems, based out of Hyderabad. Last year's employer award was given to Rockwell Industries.
So, why was this a significant moment for these employers? Why did they set the goal of being fully accessible?
Employers are starting to recognize the business case for accessibility, and in reaching out to finding new talent to meet their work demands, and also maintaining a stable workforce. The comments that we hear from employers consistently is that employees with disabilities are staying on their jobs. And one of the great challenges is the attrition rate, that many people move and shift between jobs, and the candidates with disabilities that have been placed into these roles are staying, learning quickly, and contributing to the essentially the bottom line of these companies. And the employers want to share these stories.
Yeah. And the good part about this list, so... Once they hide, so after a few months, then they are coming back to us to with the new requirement. So we have placed in that, we have closed some other positions from the same company. So they are set as an example, they are set as a role model there for other.
Like to thank you both for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Okay, great.
Just goes to show, my friends, that no matter where we are in terms of a world stage, that individuals with disabilities have same needs, same goals in life. To be heard, to be understood, to be valued, and just to explore the things they want to explore in life. To be counted as equals within the community. To pursue their hopes, dreams, goals, to be just able to access the same things that anyone else would. Doesn't matter where you are, where you've come from, the fundamental need and right is the same. We are all coming from human flesh. We are all coming from a place where we're born into this world with the potential to create and to achieve. All we need is the right tools, the right opportunities, and, yes, even the right considerations. Fact is, when you say to a person with a disability, I respect your right to access, I respect that you have something to contribute, something meaningful, that you have a potential to leave this world a little better today than it was yesterday. That really is a stepping stone. If you build them enough, eventually you'll find they can achieve any great thing. This has been HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells, reminding you We're all equal. So get on out there and have a good one. You've earned it, folks. We'll see you next week.